My mother celebrated a very special birthday yesterday, and it got me to thinking about some things that have gone on in my lifetime, both eye-related and non-eye-related. And coming up in this week's edition of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll tell you all about them and more.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials, but Twitter is your best bet to reach me. In this week's episode, I want to talk about my mom. Yesterday was her 90th birthday, and it was a very special day because where she lives has been in quarantine for the last 2 weeks because of some gastrointestinal virus that's going around. So we haven't been able to visit, and we usually visit every week, sometimes more than once a week. And so we had to make special arrangements to even get into the building to see her. And they actually brought her down, so we met in a non-residential area of the building to kind of limit our exposure to any kind of germs that are there. So hopefully Liz and I get away from yesterday's birthday celebration with my mom unscathed. We will just have to hope for the best there. So we also brought her, besides a card with some scratch-off tickets in it, which she loves to do, we brought her her weekly supply of fresh bagels and some items from Target and a couple other stores that she needed. And it's kind of funny about the bagels because we actually had brought her bagels from New York a couple of weeks back when we picked up Jane, and she actually preferred custom bagels in media over the New York bagels, which she had been wanting New York bagels for the longest time, but when she actually got them, she thought they were too big and too doughy and too much for her to eat in one sitting. So, just in case you were wondering. But it made me start thinking after we got home last night about my mom and the fact that she made it to 90 years old because she was a very heavy smoker. And I often wondered if that was the reasoning behind the eye defect that I have. And I was told by a couple of eye doctors along the way that that probably wasn't the issue. The issue was probably the fact that she was exposed to the measles or the mumps when she was pregnant with me. And even though she didn't get them, that could have had the effect on my developing self. But the fact that she's made it to 90, and, you know, she does have a lot of different things wrong with her, arthritis and osteoporosis and a few other things that I won't go into here. So it's just thinking about it last night, you know, some of the things that went on when I was a kid medically with me, and now all these years later, it's amazing to think, for example, when I was in 10th grade, so in 1980, I was 15 years old. It was before I turned 16. I did turn 16 that year. I had eye surgery on May 20th, and it was called a trabeculectomy. And that was a procedure that I went into the hospital on Monday, late in the day on Monday, and the surgery was scheduled for Tuesday, and then I finally got out of the hospital on Friday. You know, fast forward to 2003 when I had the same identical surgery. I went into the hospital, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was home by 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the same day. There was no hospital stay. And so is that modern medicine or is that something else? And, you know, all the things that have happened to me and for that matter to my mom and even my dad before he died, you know, my dad's family, you know, he outlived by far any of his siblings or his parents. His mother died, you know, at an early age. In fact, my dad was only 4 years old when his mother died. And I think up until my dad living to 94 years, I think the next closest one was probably somewhere in the mid 70s. And it's just amazing, and the only thing you can attribute that is to me is medicine, and the same thing goes with my mom. The fact that she was such a heavy smoker and she has all these things wrong with her, but yet here she is. She's still able to function, sometimes better than others, as a human being, and you know, dress herself, and she pushes herself to when she gets up in the morning to get up and make her bed. And, you know, there are days that she doesn't, because there are days that she just aches so much from the arthritis that she just can't do it. And, you know, and there are other days where other things are going on. And, but it's just, it made me think of where I get stuff from. You know, I often wish that I was more like my dad. My dad was this guy that, only went to eighth grade in school, and he was drafted at an older age. He was near the end of the draft age. I think he was 25 or 26. And, you know, he did certain things when he was in the service, and he ended up being in the Army Air Corps, which I guess is today the Air Force. But as a tail gunner, and then was shot down and was a POW, and he has had all sorts of great stories, and for whatever reason, never wanted to tell them to anybody writing a book or doing any kind of radio show or TV show. But he had no trouble, you know, telling his story to friends and school kids and anybody that would listen. It's just, if you came up to him and said, "Hey, I'm writing a book, or I want to interview you for this or that," he would say no. And I just don't know why he did that. And I missed my opportunity there. My friend Ken said that I should have gotten that stuff on either videotape or audio tape. And by the time I thought it was a good idea, it was too late. He had started forgetting some of the things. And so I just didn't, at that point, I just didn't think it was a good idea to do. But with my mom also, you know, my mom is very strong-willed, and it's kind of funny. She and Jane are almost identical. There are things that Jane does that just immediately remind me and Liz of my mom. And it's some are good and some are not so good. So, you know, everything has, you know, it's hopefully it's balanced, and she gets both the good and the bad. But, you know, it's just amazing. And in fact, when Jane was little, my mom had found a picture, and we can't find this picture now, but my mom had a picture somebody took of her when my mom was a couple years old, and she was, I don't remember what she was doing, watering some flowers or something. And when she showed us this black and white picture, we're like, "I don't remember taking this picture of Jane, especially black and white." She's like, "That's not Jane, that's me." I mean, they looked identical. And it was horrifying. And the fact that Jane is so much like her, it's just kind of funny. We did the 23andMe, and Jane and my mom are, you know, usually, you know, for example, me and my mom, I'm 50% match with my mom. Jane is a 27% match with my mom. So I don't know if that's a 23andMe issue where it's not, because it's not a, you know, full-on high-end DNA test, and that's why it came up 27% and not 25, or if that's actually possible. But it makes a lot of sense. If you know both of them, you can certainly see the way they are. They are so similar. It is hysterical. But some of the things that my mom does, I often attributed the traits that I got to my dad. You know, again, my dad, you know, being the go-getter and the entrepreneur and everything, and the fearless type of person, and where my mom at this age is trying and still doing a lot of the things that she wants to do and pushing through. Now, she doesn't get out much. In fact, we haven't been out with her outside of the assisted living place more than once or twice since she's been there, because she just can't get up into the SUV. She can't climb up into her car. So when we do go out, it's usually on one of their transport buses that they have that either go around the development or take you to a doctor's appointment or a store or whatnot. And it's gotten to the point where if my mom does go out, she does need a wheelchair, because walking that much would be too much for her. She does walk around her floor where she is, you know, in Rose Court, out there at Maris Grove. But otherwise, when she has a doctor's appointment, she, you know, will go in a wheelchair and have somebody push her, you know, because it's just too much walking. But the more that my mom says she tries to do things, it just kind of reminds me of me going out and doing things and wanting to do things and not being afraid to do it. And, you know, maybe that is a mix of both my parents. because my mom was always, you know, telling me and my dad when I was growing up, and I'm an only child, so it's so there were no other siblings that it could be pawned off to. You know, my mom would yell at my dad when he would get on a ladder and say, "Josh, you're going to break your neck." And you know what's funny? I mean, he actually finally did, right near the end of his life. He had fallen and broken a vertebrae. Not funny, but it's, you know, all those years my mom saw it coming, and it actually finally happened. And we all joked about that because, you know, she said that. I don't know if she ever, you know, shouted out some Powerball numbers or lottery numbers. And we certainly haven't hit if she has. But, you know, just the things that I like to do and try and go out on my own and be independent. And again, when I was growing up, my mom was, you know, kind of afraid to drive. She wouldn't drive very much. And when she did, you know, it was always close. She wouldn't get on the highway. She wouldn't go far. She would go to a couple of the malls that were close to our house in Wallingford. And she would go to the supermarkets if she needed to, which was unlikely because, you know, that was the business my mom and dad owned were supermarkets. And, you know, so when she needed something at home, she would just call my dad up and say, "Hey, could you bring home this or could you bring home that?" Now, she didn't like it sometimes because if she needed a can of vegetables or any kind of can or something like that, my dad would always bring home the dented cans because obviously they wouldn't sell as well as the cans that weren't that weren't dented. So my mom would always yell at my dad, "I didn't want a dented can," she would say. And my dad says, "Well, you know, you wanted lima beans and here's lima beans in a can. It doesn't matter that it's dented." And I think they kind of said, experts said later on that dented cans can have a negative impact. But again, I point to my dad was 94 when he died and my mom is now 90. So, you know, something along the way has kept them going, whether it's or didn't affect them, whether it's the dented cans evidently didn't have an effect. And so it's just kind of interesting. And that takes me to the next point. Because my parents both are, you know, now both made it into their 90s, it made me think, you know, does that mean, you know, I have a good chance? Obviously, if I'm out and about and get hit by a car, no, it doesn't. But, you know, to think that, you know, I could live to that age. And, you know, when I was a kid and, you know, my relatives were all dying in their 60s and 70s. And, you know, and as a kid, when my grandmother, my mother's mother died in 1973, and you know, she was around 75. I thought, wow, that is so old. But today that's not really the case. You know, 75 is a lot different now than it was when I was growing up. And it might also be because now I'm 54 and that's only 21 years away. it just made me think with my mom and her age and some of the things, like I said, the fact that she still wants to do as much as she can for herself and she doesn't want to be weighted on hand and foot. And she wants to try and do anything that she can on her own. And again, there are days that she can barely move her fingers. So even to hold a fork or a spoon, it's very tough for her. And I also fear that I have that coming because while I don't have osteoporosis or rheumatoid arthritis, I do have psoriatic arthritis, and that has made it difficult on days to do certain things. I still do them and I push through them. For example, I'm right-handed and I primarily use my white cane in my right hand, but my right hand also usually hurts a lot more than my left. So if I'm walking a long distance on a sidewalk where every 3 or 4 feet there's a gap or there's a joint and my cane hits that joint, the pain just reverberates right up through my hand and into my arm. And it is just really difficult to do. If I'm walking around a supermarket or a mall where the floors are very smooth, it doesn't pose as much of a problem because I don't hit things like that unless, you know, I'm coming up to a stair and or a step and I don't see it. So it's just interesting. And it just made me think yesterday as we're celebrating such a joyous occasion for my mom, and she actually was in great shape yesterday. So it was awesome to be out there, and it was nice to see her again, because like I said, we hadn't seen her for over 2 weeks since the middle of March when we brought Jane home from New York. It just made me think about medicine and how it could help you get to where you used to not be able to get to, as well as the stuff that's ingrained in us. And, again, the independence I would have said was more from my dad, but the way my mom has been over the last few years and wanting to do things on her own without any assistance or as little assistance as possible has just made me rethink that it was all my dad. And like I said, I've always wanted to be more like my dad and less like my mom. You know, I think back to, when I was a kid and my dad and I would go outside to have a catch with a baseball or a football. And again, I've been visually impaired my whole life. So, their theory, both my parents' theory was, if you want to do it, go ahead and give it a try. Did I get hit plenty of times with a baseball? You bet. And did it hurt? Yeah, sometimes it did. And there were times where I got hit in the throat and I got hit in the face or in the head. Fortunately, never in the eye as far as I can remember. And that was one of the stipulations that a few of my eye doctors had said, do whatever you want, but just don't get hit with the ball in the eye. I mean, believe me, I tried to not get hit with the ball. I guess sometimes I just didn't see it coming. So, and I just remember, my dad was a lot older, than all my friends' dads, although a couple of them were in the same ballpark. But my dad was 47 years older than me. So when I was 10 years old, my dad's 57 and we're running around outside and playing catch and doing all that things. And, and again, when I was a kid and seeing my dad like that, the fact that he lived to 94, after seeing him, in a chair, sweating and drinking water, completely exhausted from having a catch and running around with me outside. It's just kind of laughable that, we were surprised he made it to 60, let alone 94, after some of the stuff that he did with me. So it's just kind of funny. And I always admired that about him, how he just kept going. And when he got hit with something or a box would fall on him at one of his stores, he just kept going. And his biggest issue, health-wise for most of his life was his back. He had trouble with his back every so often. And when it went out, it was terrible. And I know that it happened a few times, when I was a kid, and I know it happened once or twice when they were in Florida. And, it was just, my dad always liked doing things and tried and kept going. And, his back was one thing that he couldn't play through that pain, evidently. And it's exactly what my mom is doing. And it's, what I've always tried to do. I want to do it. It doesn't matter that I can't see. It doesn't matter that my body aches because of the psoriatic arthritis. If I can get up and do it, that's great. And I want to try. And that's, what any of us do, any of us who have any kind of issues, whether you can't see and or blind or you've got some sort of other issue, you just want to kind of keep pushing and do, and you should do as much as you can. You need a reason to get up every day out of bed. And for me to try new things like that and some of the things that I have planned to do in the future, both for the podcast and hopefully YouTube, it's just something to do. And as well as the, being the outreach coordinator, for NFB Newsline, that was something I wanted to do because it was outside my comfort zone. I've got to travel places and I've got to, do presentations in front of, people. While the presentation thing isn't outside of what I like to do, because again, I've mentioned in the past that, when I went to school, I always wanted to be on TV or radio and standing up in front of a crowd and giving a speech or doing a presentation when I was in school was never that big of a deal to me. It was terrifying to my dad and he didn't want to do it ever. But I always wanted to do that. So I'm kind of looking forward to, getting out and doing and going and seeing new places and, you know, using the word seeing for someone that really can't see is just kind of funny. And I will probably do a podcast one day on that, on the lexicon that blind folks use and how it is no different when saying, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. And I've probably mentioned that before, but we were just talking about it yesterday when I was at an event here in our condo building. It was the condo president's birthday, and so they had a birthday cake and a little party for him, and I was there because I'm on the board. And one of the other people, actually his wife, who is the secretary of the condo board, had said to me, oh, I've got this article. I really want to read it to you. You know, do you have time now? And she read me this article about two blind girls that they had met down the shore when the condo board president, Jim, and his wife, Mary, they're avid kite flyers, and they've made kites. Jim has made all sorts of kites. And I mean, I'm not talking little plastic kites. I'm talking about these huge things, 4 feet by 10 feet and even bigger, where I can't imagine that he didn't get blown away with them. But he showed these two blind ladies, you know, how they do it, and they actually got to fly it. And in the article that Jim and Mary wrote about this occasion, they kept using the word seeing, but in parentheses, or quotations, I should say. And, so it's just something I try not to say because, I really won't see you tomorrow. I mean, I'll be with you tomorrow and, you know, we'll talk tomorrow and whatnot, but, it's just, again, that's getting a little off topic here. And again, I'll use that as another podcast later on down the road and things that you can say and shouldn't say to blind folks. So that is it for episode 16 of the I Can't See You podcast. I really appreciate you listening and hearing me talk about my mom and celebrating her 90th birthday and how special that was and how much like her I am, more so than I even thought. If you would, a review would be awesome, and I'd really appreciate that. And if you want to connect with me on social media, at David Benj on all the major social media platforms, Twitter is the one that I check most often and respond to most often. Thanks again to listening to the I Can't See You podcast.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.